You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito from Island Community Church, station manager here of WMIE, WWBC. I thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day, your Tuesday, to join me. We're in the middle of a sermon I just preached a couple days ago at Island Community Church. Island's located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is when we meet. Love to meet you. Love to greet you. I will greet you. Love to see you at church. This weekend, we're looking at the Great White Throne Judgment. We're up to chapter 20, but here today on the radio, we're in chapter 19. I've entitled this sermon, The King is Coming. This is part two of three. We'll wrap this up tomorrow. It's an awesome look at the return of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back, riding on a white horse, and we're going to see the destruction of everyone on the world. Because remember, well, I don't know if you know or not, but the marriage supper of the Lamb's already taken place. Therefore, there's no Christians left here on the earth. They all have gone to heaven and partook, that's the Lord said, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then the Lord's coming back on a white horse. And it's a terrible thing what happens to those that are here on earth. But that's not what the Lord wants for you. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Here is part two of this message now. The King is coming.
Smart. Maybe you're going to weasel in the door through the changing of the guard. When the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there that wasn't wearing a wedding garment. This is Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. So he said to him, "Friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. So then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. For many are called, but few are chosen." You see, there's only one way to be admitted to this wedding party, and that is through the door. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved." Not only is he the door, but he and he alone is our only access to get in. We read in Romans 5:2, "Through him we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Ephesians 2:18, "Through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." You see, like I said, you might be able to sneak in another way, like scaling a wall or sneaking in another door, or by defying ordinary or natural laws. But the time is coming where the king is going to check IDs. And his ID is a new set of clothes and a white stone. We read in Revelation 2, to all those who persevere to the end, he's going to give them a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written that no one knows except he that got it. And to get into this wedding feast, you have to have on the garment he's going to give you, and you have to have the white stone he's going to give you with your new name on it. Might slip in another way. But you're not going to last at this feast if you don't go in through the door. So there's a big wedding feast taking place in heaven right before the Lord's return. And to gain and make admittance to the wedding, you have to enter in through the door. And Jesus himself said, I am the door. There's only one way to get into this wedding feast, and that is through Jesus Christ. You have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved and get into this wedding. All right, now back to John. After witnessing all this, this was his reaction. Revelation 19:10. So I fell at his feet. This is an angel. I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, whoa, what are you doing? He said to me, see that you do not do that, exclamation point. I'm your fellow servant. See, angels are here to serve. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, exclamation point. For the testimony, here's the most important verse in all of the book of Revelation. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. See, left hand down, right hand up. Just like the Supreme Court judge last night. Left hand down, right hand up. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. The whole reason for this book is it's all about him. That there's even prophecy in the Bible is because it's all about him. The reason for everything in the Bible and in this book is so that you would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that by receiving him as your Lord and Savior, you too can have eternal life and have your own reservation to this wedding. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Why is there prophecy in the Bible? Answer, so that you would know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. That's why God speaks things before they happen. So you'll be blown away by it and fall on your knees and do like what they did when Elijah called fire down out of heaven. Oh, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Prophecy is the absolute proof that God wrote the Bible and that the Bible points to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There is real, honest-to-goodness prophecy in this book, unlike Nostradamus or anyone else. Like their prophecies, which would proclaim, oh, on a dark, dark day, a dark-haired stranger will arise and he will kill many. But the Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Here comes your king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And this, out of you, Bethlehem, will come forth to me one who's going to rule over all of Israel. And his beginnings are from everlasting. And this, dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. See, it's the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today, I have begotten you. And this, they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Or this, because he poured out his soul into death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many. Or this, out of Egypt I called my son. There's a trillion to one right there. The odds of just four of those rapid fire I gave you are the odds of you hitting Powerball every week of your life from 15 to 90 years old. Four things. Do four things written about you in a book before you were born. Fulfill four of them. The odds are 1 in 10 to the 27th power. The testimony of Jesus, all this is written down so that you will know and believe Jesus Christ is Lord. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's why you had the book of Revelation. That's why people hate it so much. That's why no one wants to preach it. Because of the spiritual fight and war that's going on out here. Okay, let's move on to verse 11. I think we have a keen understanding of what it means, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a, can you picture this? His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except he himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called Hologos to Theo, Word of God. Hallelujah. We've reached the end finally. As the Antichrist sat on a white horse in chapter 6, so was the Lord Jesus on a white horse. Moral of that story is you better wait on the Lord. Don't jump on the first person you see riding on a white horse. Beware of counterfeits, because counterfeits come to you in sheep's clothing. Verse 14, in the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, so that with it he will strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, meaning when he comes back, Jesus will use his awesome power not to heal and restore, but to kill this time. Instead of saying, peace be still, or talitha kumi, he's going to say, drop dead. You won't spit in his eye when he returns. You won't beat him to a pulp. You won't pull out his beard. You won't string him up on a cross. There'll be no manger, no crib for a bed. Little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. He's coming back with power and in great glory. He won't be subject to anyone when he comes back. He won't be at anyone's mercy when he comes back. We'll be at his mercy. Blessed are all those that are worthy to escape all these things, he said.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.